Okay, well, God afternoon to you guys. I know I said God afternoon. I usually text that, but I just say God afternoon and God evening, good morning, and God night. I say those because to me, everything has to do with God. So whether it's God morning, God afternoon, or God night, for me, it's all the same. I just want to be with God eventually someday. But here it is, the 10th week of our separation, if you will. We are, I guess that's the bad news, that we are still in lockdown mode, so to speak. But the good news, the good news is that we've noticed that they're starting to loosen the restrictions. You know, the situation at hospitals and, you know, all the doom and gloom that they had predicted hasn't occurred, at least here in California. So they're starting to ease up, if you will, on the restrictions. We still have to wear masks. And even at church, we are slowly starting to have different meetings here at church. Men's and women's started meeting, I guess, a week or two ago. And our prayer group started meeting. And we're keeping it less than 10 people. But this Sunday and next Sunday, we're actually going to be inviting adults to come to the sanctuary. And we set up the church so that we have chairs set so that everybody keeps their six-foot distance. And you know, we'll have to have masks on. We can't have children's ministry yet because that we can't figure out how to control, you know, the distance and all the issues there. But I guess that's the good news, that slowly it looks like things are starting to change for the better. And God willing, we will be back to some sort of normalcy in a short period of time. For right now, I continue to record these messages for you guys, and you know, I'm praying that they are a blessing to you. And I told you guys before, it's actually been a blessing for me, because what it's caused me to do is read these Proverbs. And I know we were just going over them verse by verse, and I was trying it that way, but what I'm doing now is reading them. Just generally reading them with you, and then looking at an application or another scripture so that we can get a better sense of maybe one or two points that are brought up in the Proverbs. And so, you know, I don't know if we'll continue that once we start meeting again, but, you know, it's been a blessing to me to be able to do that. So today we are picking up in chapter 15 of the Proverbs, chapter 15, and let's see, where did we end last time? Chapter 15, let me think. Yeah, so we ended last week on verse 14, and I did a little study about, you know, the words, the things that we say, and the connection between what we say and what's in our heart. But today we're going to pick up in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 15, and I'll read it to the end of chapter 15, which is verse 33. So we're going to look at Proverbs 15, starting in verse 15, and read all of that to the end. And then we're going to go to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. So if you grab your Bibles and shut off your phone, shut off your, or at least don't get distracted with messages or tweets or stuff like that. And we are going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 15 and Luke chapter 12. So let me pray and we will get into the word. Father, as I come before you, Lord, this afternoon, once again, I just ask your spirit to be the one to teach us this information that we're looking at. I know it's just words on a printed page, but by the power of your Spirit, Lord, you can open our understanding and give us spiritual insight, God, so that we can better know how to live for you and how to dominate ourselves, God. And so I just thank you for this opportunity, God. I ask you to use this time for the benefit of anybody who hears this so that they can grow in their knowledge of you. And if they don't know you at all, God, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would come to that knowledge and give their lives over to you. So just bless this time, Lord. I thank you for allowing us to be here and, you know, teach us your word now in Jesus' name. So I am beginning to read at Proverbs chapter 15 in verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs or vegetables where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. I'll explain that verse when I come back to it. Verse 18 says, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Actually, I'm going to keep reading just eight more verses, the first eight verses of chapter 16 of Proverbs. And it says in Proverbs 16, verse 1, says, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he even makes his No, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And verse 8 is where I'll stop reading. Verse 8 says, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Now, you may be wondering, well, why did you go to verse 8 of 16? But actually, what I wanted to show you guys and what I was studying before, in verse 8, if you read that, verse 8 of chapter 16 of Proverbs says, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. And go back to verse 16 of chapter 15. And it's almost the same, but it says there, it says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. And verse 17 is similar. It says, better is a dinner of herbs or vegetables where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Now, I told you I was going to explain that because that verse, if you may not get it just by reading it, but what it's saying is that, if you were poor or, if you were not wealthy, you didn't get to eat meat every day. I mean, you guys, today, meat isn't so much a luxury. But in very poor parts of the country, meat is a luxury. I mean, not our country necessarily, but I'm just saying in poverty-stricken parts of the world, to have meat is truly a luxury, and it's, so most people who are poor, they're living off the land, getting what they can from, what they plant and, in trees in the field and stuff like that. And so when you read that verse 16 and 17 of chapter 15, when it says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord, it's talking about a little food. You might not have much, might not be wealthy, but when you're, even though you have a little in terms of material wealth, if you have the fear of the Lord, you're in good shape. But the contrast there is, what if you have great treasures and you don't have the Lord, then you literally have trouble. You may not think so. You may enjoy your life and think, you're living well and living large, but without the Lord and without the fear of the Lord, you are headed for trouble. And so when you read verse 17, I hope that makes it a little clearer when it says, better is a dinner of herbs or vegetables where you have love. And that's speaking of, God's love, actually. And the comparison there is, if you have a fatted calf, you may have, beef and chicken and, you may have all the wealth, if you will, of the world, but with hatred. And again, it's the bottom line is whether you have the love of God or not. And so that's really what the contrast is there. But look at verse 27 of chapter 15. And there it's a little bit more explicit. It's a little bit more direct. And it says there, he who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. Now, I have to explain that again because it may not be 100% clear to you guys, and it, this is poetic language. I told you that before, that Proverbs is somewhat poetry, so there's going to be a little bit of, and it's not only poetry, but it's translated from another language, so, it's hard for us to get the gist of what's being said there. But essentially what it's saying is that somebody who lives or says is greedy for gain, I think that makes sense to you guys. Somebody who's, living just to get material wealth and to have things and to have materialism. Somebody who's very materialistic and they're just, obsessed with the things they can get out of life. It says he troubles his own house. Now, I've told you guys this before and I've made this statement. Most people aren't going to make choices that harm themselves. But that is exactly what people do in life when they live just for the pleasures of life. They are harming themselves. They don't realize it, or, you know, maybe they do. I think you guys, you might claim ignorance, but not ignorance by my teaching, because I've told you this before. You can get all the stuff in the world, but if you die without Christ, you're going to hell, and that's going to be your eternal torment. But what it says here, he who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live forever, or will live. It doesn't say forever, but will live, and the implication there is forever. You're already alive if you reject bribes. But I wanted you to understand, you know what a bribe is, right? A bribe is like, you know, let's say a cop pulls you over and says, hey, you know, you were speeding down the street and, you know, I'm going to have to give you a ticket. And you say, oh, officer, is there any way I can, you know, pay for that ticket right now? I mean, what's the fine? Maybe $100? Could I give you $100 right now and we'll just take care of this right here? If the cop were to take that $100 from you, he's basically receiving a bribe, which is he's not going to give you the ticket. He's certainly not going to give that money to, you know, the municipality or to the city. What he's going to do is pocket that money, and so he's has not done justice. The just thing to do would be to give you the ticket, but he's profited for something that's unjust. And so you can see that's what a bribe is. And so you see the motivation behind that cop taking that $100 from you is because he's greedy. He just wants material wealth or whatever, and he might do that. But then again, if you offered, you know, $100 to a cop and then he says, no, I don't want your $100. In fact, I'm going to write you up a ticket for trying to bribe me. So I wouldn't recommend doing that. In Mexico, they do it all the time. I mean, all the time. I have a story about that, but I'll tell you that in the end if I have time. But so let me read that verse again. Verse 27 says, he who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. Now, the reason I wanted to go to the verse 8 of chapter 16, and hopefully this makes sense to you now. Verse 8 of chapter 16 in Proverbs says, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Again, I just explained to you about bribery. Is that, you know, the cop isn't doing his job, and he's not doing his job because he wants the $100. So that's injustice. He's not doing the correct thing. But, you know, what we're seeing there, you know, what I'm trying to get you guys to see in those three highlighted verses is it's talking about our desire as people to obtain things materialistically, obtain stuff, and live for our own pleasure, and not live for justice and righteousness, not live for God and for His cause. So that is the theme of what I want to study with you guys, since after reading these verses in Proverbs, the theme that I'm going to look at with you guys is, material, living for material things and living for things of this world, as opposed to living for God and for His righteousness. So that's why I want to turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to start reading in verse 13, and I'm going to read all the way to 31. Again, you guys know I'm not going to go into this in depth and word by word, and but I think it'll point out what I'm trying to, the theme that I'm looking at with you guys. So I'm reading from Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 13. It says, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed," or pay attention, "and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store all my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.' Then he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barns, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even King Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed or dressed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." So what I was trying to point out to you in those few verses that I highlighted there in Proverbs was, that it's the tendency of the world for people to live for material things. And I'm not denying that you need food and shelter and clothing and, all those things. But what I just read to you from the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12 gives a different perspective, because, what you have there in verse 13 is that this guy comes up to Jesus and, I don't know, it doesn't say anything about him, so we don't know, much, except that he considers Jesus to be an authority, if you will, somebody of authority and somebody that you can respect. And because he calls him teacher, which, in the Hebrew, he would have called him rabbi, which is a good title. It's like saying professor or something like that to somebody. But this guy comes to Jesus and his concern is not about the things of heaven or, the kingdom of God or the spiritual life. He comes up to him and says, "Hey, teacher, can you tell my brother to give me my half of the inheritance?" And I don't know what the situation was there, but maybe he felt ripped off that his dad left everything to his brother, or I don't know. But Jesus' answer is really interesting. He goes, hey, listen, man, you know, and I don't think it's disrespectful. He's just saying, listen, guy, you know, I'm not here to judge or divide your inheritance. I'm not here to deal with your material things. I'm not even concerned about those things. And in verse 15, he makes it so clear. He says to the people, because he's not talking to this guy anymore, because he answered the guy. He says, you know, I'm not going to deal with that for you. But then he turns to the crowd, because there's lots of people there, and he says, look, you guys need to be real careful. Take heed. When he says take heed, it's like, hey, pay attention. Look out. Watch out for this covetousness. Covetousness is really just the sin of wanting more and more stuff. And wanting stuff that doesn't belong to you or stuff that belongs to others. And he says really clearly in that verse 15, and that it's really important. He says, one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Now, I want you guys to understand that also, that would also mean that your life doesn't consist in your poverty. If you're a poor person and you have, you know, very little or nothing, that doesn't mean, that means you're materially poor, but it doesn't mean that you're not, that your life isn't of value, because to God, your life is not in what you collect and what you gain in this life. And so he gives this parable about a rich man who had, you know, crops in a field, and you know, he was, you know, he sold his goods to maintain himself, but you know, he has this bumper crop, if you will. He has a really good year, and he's thinking, yeah, wow, what am I going to do all this? I mean, I have so much. And then he decides, oh, you know what? What I'll do is I'll just, instead of working hard for another 4 years or whatever, he says, instead of working more time, he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to build more barns, bigger place, and I can store all this stuff. And then he says, I'll be able to say to myself, you know what? You have so much stuff. Now I'm going into retirement, and I'll be able to kick it. And he says, in verse 19, he says, I'll say to myself, you know, I've got so much for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, you'll notice there's no mention of God in there, right? He doesn't thank God for what he has or doesn't have. He just says, you know, here's what I'm going to do. And it's so often people have that plan, you know, that this is what they're going to do in life. You know, people live and work, and they say, oh, I'm going to get this job. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And you know, there's nothing wrong with planning. You know, in fact, we read in verse 30, it says, you know, God the Father knows you have need of things. He knows that. But the idea is not to live for those things. And so, you know, this guy has this idea, this rich, you know, man, you know, that he's just going to retire, kick it. He's going to, you know, have his stored up goods, and he'll live on that, and he'll eat, drink, and be merry. So it's been, you know, he's going to eat, you know, kick back, probably drink a lot, and you know, just live the party life. That's really what he's talking about. And you know, that's a lot of youth today, you know, think that, you know, they just want to party and do this and that, and that, you know, that's their life. And but God said to him in verse 20, God says to this guy, you fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Because essentially what he's saying is, okay, you're going to die tonight, and all the stuff that you've obtained is going to be of no value to you, because you can't take it with you. And he says, your soul, and you know, there's a scripture, I want to find it. Yeah, I wanted to look it up, because this is an important verse. I just looked it up. I didn't have it in my notes. So in Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 through 27, you guys don't need to look for it. I'll just read it to you. But listen to what it says. Jesus says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then listen to this verse. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And, you know, that to me is what I was looking at, you know, that's what I'm seeing here in these verses with you in Luke chapter 12, because this guy, you know, he lived for stuff, and then the point that Jesus is making is, you know, if you die, all that stuff is worthless to you. It's not, it serves no purpose. And if you lose your soul and you go to hell, wow, you know, what good is was your life in that? But look at verse 21 in Luke chapter 12. It says, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now, I want you guys to understand something. In I've tried to make this clear to you many times, but God is not some killjoy. That's not his, you know, God is not against you having fun or enjoying life. But when your life is all about you and obtaining things, you know, then you're gonna end up dying and separated from God. And he says, no, it's okay. You can have things, but you need to be rich towards God. You should, and that's, you know, go down to verse 30, and I'll close with that again, because he says there in verse 30 of Luke chapter 12, he says, "For all these things the nations of the world seek after." Everybody looks after, you know, for food, for clothing, for housing, for cars, for all the creature comforts of life. But he says, "Your Father knows that you need these things." But look at verse 31. "But seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things shall be added to you." And that's really what I wanted to share with you guys today, because, you know, the Proverbs, like I told you, they give us a lot of good information, line by line, little bits. But, you know, I really wanted to focus on that today, because, you know, those verses that I focused on with you from, I think it was 16:8 in a couple verses in chapter 15, they talk about that, you know, about, you know, being greedy for gain and living for the things of this life. And to be honest with you guys, I'm just going to be blunt. Most of you guys live for that. You live for the latest phone, for the latest fashion, for, you know, I don't know. Your lives are a lot about, you know, what you can, you know, the pleasures of life. And like I said, God isn't against you enjoying life. In fact, God's desire is for you to enjoy life, but eternally. And so it's like God is saying, well, you know, seek me first and I'll give you all those things. I'll give you far beyond what you could ever ask or think. But the problem is that you guys as youth and, you know, most people don't want to trust God, don't want to trust your life with anybody else. And then you just get all you can out of life, and ultimately what you've, you know, like I read you that verse, and Jesus said, you know, if you give up the pleasures of this life, or if you, he's not saying you have to live poor, but he's saying, if you give up your life now, you will gain life for all eternity, you know? So he's saying, you know, don't live for the things of this world, live for the things of God. But he says, if you give up the things of this life, you will actually gain your life. But if you hold on to it, if you try to live for everything that you can get out of this life, you're actually going to lose your life. And it's a paradox. But, you know, that's the reality of God's word. And that's the hard thing, because God wants us to live by faith, trusting in him. And I know that's hard for most of you, but once you take that step and you say, you know what, God, I'm willing to trust you. I want to give up what I can, you know, what I have in this life, and allow you to guide me. Then God says, great, now I'll take you and I'll show you things that you've never thought of, and I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. So I just pray that that would be something you guys would seek after. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added into you. So God bless you. I pray that we'll see each other soon. And in the meantime, continue to do your homework, reading a proverb a day, and hopefully we'll see each other soon. Amen. Amen.